Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. Hi, everybody. This is Joe. It is July 13th, Tuesday, July 13th. It is 9:56 in the morning, and I just handed over to my relief. I am about halfway into this night hitch, and I consider today the end of an era. I will be going back into the office to work. No more working from home. I'll be going in tonight, and it's weird. It's almost it almost feels like the first day of school all over again. Just a lot of anxiety, I guess. It's just crazy how the last time I was in that office, it was 16 months ago. And the last few days just leading up to it, I was just like reflecting, even to the point where like, what was I up to a year ago today? And it was almost the same, you know, anxiety. I guess everyone worldwide was experiencing anxiety with what was going on with COVID. But a little bit, or a lot of it, and I was just relieved not having to go into the office, and I was getting a taste of what it's like working from home. And you know, it was working, and it has worked. And the last week or so, I was just getting articles in my email, or recommended articles for me to read on Medium. I'm a publisher there on Medium, so I get like a lot of suggested articles to read. And I must have read a dozen articles about how it's on how that there's no point in having to go back to the office, that everything can be done working from home. Many people have seen an increase in productivity working from home, and they've maintained that work-life balance. And pretty much nobody has slacked off. Just because there was no manager overlooking your shoulder doesn't mean that people took advantage and not, you know, worked or completed what was expected of them. And that's what frustrates me. Just even hours away from me having to go into the office, I just wish that we did not have to go into the office, because there's no point. And in these articles, I've just read that, you know, on how managers just, you know, want to have a tighter grip on their employees, on how they just want to micromanage and make sure they're actually working. And just a bunch of outdated philosophies on why employees need to go back to the office. You know, and I think the camel that the straw that broke the camel's back that I read was the amount of time it takes you to commute to work, you're not compensated for it. And you know, that was just like a, you know, an eye opener, because you know, it's right. You know, the amount of time it takes for me to go into the office, I don't get compensated for that. I don't get paid for that. And I feel as though not having to go into the office, I kind of earned that time back. Use that time to do whatever I needed to do, you know, and, you know, something like actually eating a hearty breakfast, you know, before I start my shift, actually, you know, reading or just, you know, meditating, or, you know, just use that extra time, that, you know, we didn't know we had or could have if it wasn't for actually working from home. And, you know, it's frustrating simply because, you know, those, you know, glorious days are somewhat temporarily over. And I say temporarily over because I still have faith that I'm going to land a role where I can work from home. And it doesn't even have to be strictly working from home. If it can be some sort of hybrid schedule where a few days out of the week I'll go into the office, but you know, I can also work from home. So for the past few weeks or few days, I've just been dreading that. And I felt anxious and just, you know, angry on the way of thinking, on the way employers have this way of thinking, managers have this way of thinking, where they expect their employees to go into an office and continue the work they have done for the past 16 months flawlessly. What's the point? Why? And I know for a fact that my company, even if one or all of them brought it up to try and convince for us to work from home, they're not going to budge. They won't budge. And that's the most frustrating part. One of the most frustrating part, and I guess the other little frustrating parts, is that I won't be able to work on code or work on, you know, work on podcast episodes. And to be honest, you know, I won't be able to do and record a podcast like I am now. The funny thing is that I was not even planning on recording this podcast today. I did not even have a script. I usually have a script with me, just little talking points in front of me. I actually typed one up a couple hours ago just to have something to go off on. And I knew the fact that me having to go back to the office was going to be one of the topics I was going to take most of my time talking. But you know, it's going to take a while for me or for all of us to get adjusted back into the office. I think I'm going to be bitter. I don't know if I should call it being bitter, but I'm just going to be frustrated and just upset having to go back. But yeah, it's it's crazy because, again, I was just reminiscing. I was just thinking about, wow, I can't believe a year has gone by. 16 months have gone by. And I remember seldomly a year ago just being like, you know what? I think we're going to be working from home for a long time. And, you know, I guess I really took advantage of that or took it for granted, because I can honestly say, and looking back, that I've actually made the most of it, where I learned to code and not learn to code, you know, entirely all over again, but like just learn new things. And I was able to work on code, work on projects when work was slow, and I can easily leave my workstation here at home and go to my personal laptop and just code away. So I shouldn't be all that upset, because I did not take it for granted. And when I had free time, or when I made free time or found free time, I took advantage, and I did not take it for granted. I actually used it towards enhancing my coding abilities, and so it's not a total loss in a way, and I should really give myself more credit than I am. And I can only imagine if I honestly did not feel like I, you know, I would feel a lot worse if I took it for granted. A lot worse. I would have a lot of regret, for sure. But let me just move on from that. And quick update on where I am with DevSlopes Academy. I'm still at 70%. Last time I mentioned that I was going to deviate away from the curriculum and work on a little side project, which was going to help me with my capstone project later in a few weeks. I worked on building an API endpoint using Firestore. I used JavaScript, Node.js, Express, VS Code, and Firestore. And it was a lot easier than expected. If you know your way around JavaScript, Node, and Express, and are familiar with Firestore, it's very easy to put together an API endpoint. And also, managing it using Postman, that API client. Not only did I do all that, but I actually wrote a full article on how to build an API endpoint on Medium, and I'll make sure to link that article to the podcast details. I go step by step on that article, like every little move I made, any installation, any letter I type, I made sure to note that in the article. And reading the article, it'll probably take you about 10 minutes, but following through, it'll probably take you around the same. Like if you want to build the API endpoint yourself, read and code at the same time, and it'll take you 15-20 minutes unless you run into some errors or something. But I tried to write that article as error proof as possible. At one point I ran into problems when trying to export my project to Cloud Firestore functions. It wouldn't update. It wouldn't push it to Cloud Firestore because there's a JS linter. It was just spitting out errors, some coding errors. And I made sure that there are no errors. And it was just something weird going on with the JS linter version that it was a little too paranoid. and it was spitting out these errors. Therefore, if you have errors, the Cloud Firestore functions would not accept the upload of these functions. So I kind of had to redo the whole project, install Firebase to the project, but this time around I did not install the JS Lintour, and the project successfully uploaded, and I was able to make post functions, get function, update and delete the basic CRUD operations. And it was really, really fun. It was very insightful. And I'm really happy I wrote the article, because it really did teach me a lot. And I look forward to working on my capstone project now, because if I can build an API endpoint like that and manage it with Postman, it'll be very easy to add data to the endpoint where the front end or the app I want to build can read and use and display to the user. Again, I'll make sure to link that article to the podcast details so you can check it out. And I encourage you to, if you have any questions, or if you follow through on the tutorial and you get stuck on something, please do not hesitate to leave a question, or, you know, again, leave a comment on the article, and I'll make sure to respond as soon as I can. So after working, writing that article, I was just pretty much mentally drained. I must have taken so many hours. I think I took a whole day just to read documentation, and read documentation on just putting that project, that API endpoint project together. And then, gosh, maybe another day just writing the article, taking screenshots, editing the screenshots. They're not like professionally edited screenshots, but they're edited nonetheless. And that took a lot of time. And honestly, working on the project and writing the article and just working on it, that must have taken about 2.5-3 days. So after submitting it to Medium and submitting the article to my to the academy, I just did not want to be behind a screen for a while. I just needed to take a break, which I did. I took a day off from, you know, being behind a computer. So, but when I did get back behind a computer, or in front of a computer screen, I moved on to the next lesson of the academy, which was working on using maps with MapKit and core location. You know, MapKit and core location are just, you know, they work hand in hand. Core location finds your coordinates and just pretty much display it on a map with MapKit. I worked on a guided app project where you had to create an app called Parkly. And it basically helps you pinpoint the location where you parked. And let's say, you know, you're in the city, you park somewhere, and you walk around the city, you know, you go, you know, get coffee, you go shopping or whatever. And, you know, just most of the time, sometimes you kind of forget where you parked. And, well, Parkly lets you pinpoint where you parked your car. And you simply tap a button called Find Car, and it'll map out directions to the car. And working on Parkly and understanding the fundamentals of the app really paved the way to the weekly the weekly app assignment that's due now. It's basically a running app that tracks the route, the distance, and it needs to have the ability to share a screenshot of the results via SMS, text messaging. But as an added bonus, you're encouraged to, instead of sending an SMS, an image through SMS of the route you ran, it's asking for you to send an app URL to another user who is using the same app, and the image or the actual route and the data that comes with the route, and that data could be the actual, again, the route, the distance ran, and pretty much anything that pertains to that route being shared, it would need to open up in the app. So say if user A, you know, ran a route and, you know, wants to share it with user B, rather than, you know, sharing just a screenshot of, you know, the display where it shows the route and all the other data, sending a URL with packaged with that data over to the user B and opening it up on the app. That's what they're asking for, but as a bonus. Now, that's going to be something new to for me to look up, because, you know, I'm aware that, you know, you can do that, that, you know, when you send if you're using an app and you want to share some data over to another user or somebody that you follow, and that use that same app again, it opens up in that app. I've seen it done. Off the top of my head, I cannot remember what app does that, but I have seen it in the wild, and I think that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I don't know if it pertains to the same thing, but when I get emails from Median and I tap on the link in the email, it doesn't open up Safari and go to the website in Safari. It actually opens up the Medium app on my phone. I don't know what the anatomy is of that URL that triggers the app to open or what, but and again, I don't know if that's a good analogy to use, because that's how I imagine it. That's how I envision it in my head. So that's going to be really, really neat to look up. And I'll need to look up some documentation on how to do that. But after reading, you know, the requirements of that app, I went ahead and started designing the UI in Figma. And as soon as I got the basic screenshots or the basic sketches of the app, I went ahead and started building the app UI in Xcode. And I'm about 45 to 50% done with that. And I first created the login, the sign up and the login storyboard view controllers for that. And I immediately added Firebase dependencies and configured the sign up and sign in screens to authenticate using Firebase. So that way, as I build the app, I get to test the flow and to make sure at one point where I'm ready to build the data models for the user and for the actual run sessions, because I am planning to use Firestore for this project, and which is probably the best way to share data amongst users and also find users within the app that you want to follow. I have a terrible habit of of going out of my way, maybe going above and beyond the expectations of the app. I guess I really want to make a good impression on this app. So, you know, it's not required for users to find other users and follow each other. But it's something that I'm aware of that, you know, Firestore and Firebase itself can like help you achieve. So, you know, I would like to implement that and just, you know, go out of my way and show my skill. Plus, it's, you know, eventually when I'm done with it, it's going to go on my my portfolio. So I really want to make a great impression on this app. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. In this episode's Who You Should Follow, I highly encourage you to follow Enid. I hope I'm not butchering that name, but it's spelled E-N-I-D. He is an iOS, a macOS, and tvOS developer who's experienced in both Objective-C and Swift. He's a creator of Kneeboard app, which is a whiteboard app available for iPhone, iPad, and Mac. Enid follows tons of other resourceful iOS developers, so feel free to browse his followers after you give him a follow, of course. You can find him on Twitter. His handle is iOS_dev_ALB, and I'll make sure to leave these details in the episode description. So, one of the things that I have been contemplating, just to add another platform to where I can be reached at and you know, reach out to you all. I've been toying with the fact of creating a Twitch channel, and so far I've set up Streamlabs and added some overlays and kind of put my account, the fun, you know, just the basic stuff together on Twitch. And reason why I've been wanting to start a Twitch channel, because it's very rare that I find other fellow programmers, and I don't even care if you're an iOS developer or a web developer. You know, it's just, it looks like there are not a lot of developers on Twitch, and maybe I'm just, you know, not looking hard enough or what, but fellow developers that I follow on other social media platforms, you know, they do not have a Twitch channel, and that kind of sucks, because it would, you know, it's great to follow them on, you know, on Twitter and Instagram, but if they can like broadcast their work, or even have some sort of one-on-one interaction with them, you know, on just chatting with them, or actually having a call with them and just broadcasting that on Twitch. There are some, I guess gaming has, and that's what Twitch was originally, just a platform for gamers to broadcast on. But, you know, almost overnight, Twitch has just reached out and on different types of on categories. You know, I've seen people, you know, read poetry on there, or just, you know, one of my favorites to watch, not a favorite, but, you know, just one of the most interesting ones to watch are like DJs. They're just performing in front of a camera, you know, which is, you know, awesome, because, you know, during the pandemic, I mean, there was no clubs open or anything. And, you know, these DJs, they, you know, that's their income, you know, that's how they make a living. You know, they DJ at a club or events, and, you know, when the pandemic hit, you know, they couldn't book an event, and they had to find other means to reach out to people and continue that flow of income. And Twitch was probably like the best idea for them. And there are other people, you know, other categories out there. Again, not just gaming, but, you know, again, very, very seldom have I seen a programmer on there. Now, I will say that even though it's hard to find programmers on there, I at least know one. And you might consider this a bonus who you should follow. But I follow, her name is Matilda, and she goes by a female coder on Twitch. And, you know, she works on projects. She has Pomodoro timer set, and she interacts with her her followers there. And just, you know, watching her and interacting with her, chatting and everything, she's really interactive with people who follow her or chat with her. So that's pretty cool. But again, it's very few that I've found. And it kind of has inspired me to start my own channel. And, you know, a female coder, Matilda, she's a web developer. Actually, she's a mobile app developer as well. She's currently working on learning Dart and Flutter. So that's even more encouraging if I were to start one as well and just basically be native iOS and just start, you know, a channel and see what comes out of it. But I would really like to hear some feedback and if you all would be interested. And one of the best ways to reach out to me is by leaving me a voice message. And you can do that by going to anchor.fm/myswiftjourney. You'll get to my podcast homepage there, and there's a button dead center that says message. You tap on that and you can leave me a voice message and just let me know. Leave your feedback. I don't think there's a time limit on how long the message can be, but that is one of the coolest ways you can leave me any feedback or questions or comments or whatever. I would love to hear from you all. And let me, you know, biggest question is, you know, would you be interested in me having a Twitch channel? Convince me to make one, even though I pretty much got everything already set up. Now, if leaving a voice message is not your thing, that's fine. I believe the links for my Twitter and Instagram are there, and you can find me on either platform and leave me a message, send me a message through those platforms. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I really hope this episode finds you well and that you're being productive and you're moving on and forward and learning and not giving up. The light at the end of the tunnel, it's closer than we think. And you just got to believe and have faith in yourself and don't give up on yourself. I really hope I do hear from you all, whether it's through message, voice message, or through my other social media links. Wish me luck as I return back to the office. And not sure if I'm going to be posting this episode today. I'm really tired. I've been up now for almost 14, 15 hours, maybe a little longer. I hope I publish it soon so it can get to you soon. So until next time, keep being productive, keep learning, don't give up, stay safe, be a great neighbor, happy coding.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode. If this episode brings you any value, do leave a review, and if you have time, a comment. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and will help me produce future episodes. If you'd like to leave me a voice message, which I would greatly look forward to, head over to anchor.fm/myswiftjourney, click on the message button, and record away. I look forward to your messages. Happy coding.